This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coach Hurd has rejoined the program. Now that he's with us, let's fire up the list. Ball pressure. All right, Coach, you triggered something that I'd read this morning when you were discussing the Tiger game and about how you know, Penny's always never been one to shy away from the press, but the amount of full court pressure that we've been seeing, well, I think that it's interesting because John Hollinger has written over at The Athletic, it's not just a college basketball thing, we're seeing it in the NBA. He wrote this morning, let's pause for an anecdote to underscore my point. After Toronto pressured and harassed Atlanta full court in the Raptors' unexpectedly easy 138-118 rout of the Hawks on opening night, I expressed mild surprise to a Toronto player that the Raps were committed to playing 94 feet, even against Trae Young. That player corrected him and said, especially against Trae Young. Hollinger writes the point, all that ball pressure is actually even more valuable against the league's most dangerous ball handlers, because it allows the defense to wear them out during the course of a 48-minute game. It's the biggest story of the first week of the season. Ball pressure. All over the court, all game long, no matter how big of a star is handling the ball. The statistical evidence backs what I've seen with my eyes. The league-wide turnover rate is up from 12.6% last season to 13.8% through Sunday's games, and more notably, the league-wide steal rate has shot up from 8.1 per 100 possessions to 8.9. Okay, so I throw all that out there to say, you know, pressing is not really something unusual we see in college basketball. I mean, we've had Nolan Richardson, the 40 minutes of hell, Huggy Bear, always full court pressing. But oftentimes we wouldn't see it in the NBA because almost everyone on the floor can handle the ball. And anytime you'd press, everyone was worried about giving up easy baskets. I almost wonder, and I'm picking your brain on this, everyone's basically taking the same shots now that everybody's taking threes or dunks and layups. Is it almost worth it just to see if you can just steal possessions? Because even if you give up a dunk or layup, well, that's largely what they're taking anyway. See if you can get the turnover.
Yeah. And another thing to look at, Jeff, is pressing is better with a shot clock. So
sure.
You look at it like this, like if you can pressure a guy and then you're pressuring them, and by the time you get across half court and they try to call a play, now you might be at 12 seconds. Now you figure, okay, you know, when you get under 10, you know, people start forcing things, you know. And so I love it just because, Jeff, it's funny. They do it a lot at AAU, and I'm sure you didn't hear it over the years. They don't do nothing but press or do this and do that, but then it's like, everything they have done, and I am biased at AAU because there's so many great guys in and so many college coaches and NBA guys started at AAU. The thing that they say, the NBA took the NBA, you know, that in-season championship, that was a big AAU thing that they took.
You know,
talking to Nike. So it was like, because it's fun and everybody want to win, some on the same level, just back with pressing. People say, Cal don't do nothing but pressing. He don't run play. Well, tell me whether it's Trae Young, whether it's me, whether it's you, who wants pressure on them?
Oh, no, it's the worst.
It helps affect the game. And for coaches who used to be like people who pressed on Coach for real, I'm like, why do you press when you get down in the fourth quarter? Then why don't you try that in the first quarter? You might not have been down. You know what I mean? And so now to do it in the NBA is I think you're going to get underrated teams to do it. They're more like.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a way to combat a talent disadvantage.
Yep. Yep. And also I don't see you getting like unless you unless you the coach of the Rockets and maybe Tyronn Lue a little bit, I don't see you getting like Harden and all them to buy into that consistently.
No, I do think what's interesting though is because you got to expect if they're doing it with Trae Young to make it local, I got to imagine Ja's going to see a lot of this too for the same reasons. Number one, it's going to wear him out. And number two, like, hey, they're allowing more contact. Like, you know, that can frustrate Ja.
Yeah, now they got to be a little more careful with Ja.
Because he can just run past him.
Yeah, you got to go AAU for real and set a trap. Now, Trae is fast, but Trae a little bit more of how you on his body, and he can shoot so deep, and so he do it in a little different way. Ja, whoo, man, you better come at the right angle now because that can be tough.
Yeah, I just find it interesting because one of the points that Hollinger makes is exactly one of the points that he points out is that by creating pressure, it starts the offense later in the shot clock. And so, like, you know, you're forcing them perhaps into worse shots. But I guess kind of the other thing is like I wanna take this with the did you see MJ's comments from last night on NBC's whatever, their return to NBA about load management?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I didn't see it just last night.
Yeah, I've got it if you want it. So Mike Tirico's interviewing him about load management. Well, it shouldn't be needed first and foremost. You know, I never wanted to miss a game because it was an opportunity to prove. It was something that I felt like the fans are there to watch me play. I want to impress that guy way up on top who probably worked his butt off to get a ticket or to get money to buy the ticket. Because I know he's probably yelling at me, I want him to shut up, but you know he's calling me all kinds of names. I definitely want him to shut up. You have a duty. I'm sorry, that was for about the way fans are yapping at players now. But I guess this is the other thing is like, I know we want to sit there and say, like, because I hate load management as much as the next person. Mm-hmm. I do think I can fundamentally acknowledge that the amount of movement and how far they're running, I would imagine if we tracked games in the 90s, they're running probably three times as much in a game. So, like, I do acknowledge there's definitely more wear and tear. But I was also thinking about it in the terms of, like, is this going to even lead to fewer, you know, guys playing fewer games? Because if everybody's going to press the whole game, man, like, that takes it out of you.
Yeah. And Mike did say something on there. You just got him confused. He said about a week ago he was talking about, like, I wish I could play now. So he did say something in an interview about load management. Yeah, we got to find a fine line with that, Jeffrey, because of what I'm about to say now, because, you know, I'm a former athlete and a coach. But, okay, let's say they are playing two, three times more possessions. Well, they also get
it's maybe not as many possessions. I just look at how much more they're like. Look at how much more movement there's. Like, compare how much you see guys running on an offensive set to the triangle offense.
For sure, I think it's more possessions too because people are getting more shots. But even if it is, it's like, but you're getting paid 2, 3, 10 times more. So what job in the world where you don't get paid more and you don't have to do more? I mean, it's just kind of where it is, and like I said, I'm not neglecting their bodies or anything, but Jeff, that's a lot of money, man. Like, now unless it's some stuff long term that can affect you from walking, if you're getting paid 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 million a year, like some of these guys is, like, maybe you you know, owe it to play a little banged up too, Jeff. I mean, you're still getting paid.
No,
it's not being insensitive in things.
No. I mean, I think the thing is, it's the amount. When you talk about how much more they're getting paid, I think there's been this weird reversal. It's in the sense of, because I was talking about this with George. We saw this a little bit in baseball when you started to have these starting pitchers that were getting these $200 million contracts, which at the time were like groundbreaking. That's when everybody started to be careful with these arms. And it's almost like because these guys are making so much money, they're getting treated as like precious assets rather than going, hey, man, I'd rather try to get, I'm paying you this much. I'd rather get, you know, more per game out of you. It's almost like it's worked in the inverse in that everyone's like, well, we got to be super careful with him. Look how much money we have in him. Like, that's what has surprised me.
Yeah, and we talked about it, and we're not comparing him in the cars. I mean, you even talked about it in the car fashion. Like,
yeah.
People who buy Bentleys and stuff, and I ain't never had that, but I done had some foreigns that I only drove on the weekend. And people say, but then I have people who say, what's the purpose of that? If you're going to spend that much on something, you might want to get your money. Well, you know, what's the use of getting a Bentley or...
Well, it's like, why would we buy a Lambo? If you and I live in the city, like, what are we doing buying a Lambo?
Yeah,
when are we opening that bad boy up?
And if you are, Jeffrey, like, some people, like, if they finna spend over $100,000 on any car or even eight, then they're going to drive it. Like, they're actually going to get their money worth because what's the point of bringing it out once a month? You know, and so... You got two sides. Some people will be very careful with some expensive. Some people want to get their money worth. I think, unlike a car that you can keep the miles low on and you know for sure you got a warranty on it. But humans are a little different because even though you might save a guy, you know, the Paul George, after 4 or 5 years or 3 years, their contract is up and some of them don't even stay with you no more. So I don't even know how that helps. Unless it's a guy that just y'all saving for the playoffs and he come up big every playoffs and, you know, and y'all making deep runs outside of that. How much have you seen it help? What is your thought?
No, I've actually. So it's one of those ones where it's tough to get a read on everybody that wants to present a scientifically backed study is almost coming at it from an angle of they've predetermined the result that they want, and so they prove that story. But I think about it in these terms. Like, while I've never ran a marathon, my dad did. But my dad didn't just show up in December downtown and just run the marathon. You know what I mean? Like, there's... And I also think about it in these terms of football. It's like, man, remember the first live full pads all-out scrimmage? Like, to me, that was always the day that I felt the most... After that day is the day that I felt the most sore. And it's almost like he can't really talk me into, like, that the bot... Like, if it's going to be a collision sport, I understand the natural inclination is to think the fewer hits you take, the better. But it's like, if we acknowledge you're playing this sport, like, no boxer just gets out and doesn't spar. Like, they get hit. Like, I've always just wondered, like, are we sure it's 1,000% better to, like, limit as many hits in preseason and whatnot and take as few hits as possible? Like, I almost think there has to be some conditioning of the body.
No, you made a good point with the boxing and, like you say, football and with it all. But this basketball thing is just, man, that low management. And I think, I mean, you talked about this 3 weeks ago. NBA is trying. They're taking certain awards away if you don't play 65 games. Some of that leads to money. Some of them guys getting paid so much money, you know, either way. So I don't know how you punish them. I don't think the commissioner is trying to punish them, but I do think he wants a fair situation. Like with the Kawhi thing, people joke about them claiming he got this non-appearance check, and people are like, well, that goes with everything else he been, you know, the stuff, the investment company, the Clippers, I guess they're investigating on it or whatever. And people
allegedly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, allegedly. Uh-huh. Allegedly. Yeah, so, but I don't know if you...
They got a few plates spinning up at the NBA office right now.
Yeah. I don't know if you read the comments, Jeffrey and George, but some people was like, the investigation should be what he's doing with the Clippers.
Not that. He's
stealing
not
from them. Yeah. Yeah. It's not that he's stealing from the bankrupt company, but I mean, I guess this is kind of the other thing I was thinking about it. To a certain degree, I don't think you're going to be able to change players' minds. And so, like, I was thinking about it in these terms. All right, we've seen two pretty high-profile Achilles tears in last playoffs with Halliburton and with Tatum. I've seen, you know, most people go, well, look, it's the amount of basketball that they've been playing. It's now that everyone has been specializing in basketball at an early age. It's a ton of basketball. It's on the joints. I also saw another guy that's a doctor pointing out, are we 100% sure it's the number of games that they're playing? Or what about, I'm watching guys now doing unnatural basketball moves to either try and draw fouls or to try and, you know, because now everything's become so one-on-one and, you know, ball dominant, these guys are making moves that we've never seen. Like, maybe that is causing some of these injuries. But it's almost like you can't really have that discussion with them because, and to a certain degree, it's like you understand it. Their body is their product, like, to a certain degree. But it's almost like they don't even want to have the conversation. It's just in their mind, they're like, the less we play, it's the better.
Yeah, yeah, that's in some guys' head. But I think some guys, I think it comes down to, honestly, and nobody don't want to hear this because this is not the business answer, but it's the love you have for the game. And I think when these same guys we talking about before they got their money, watch how much they sit out in college. None. And I mean, they didn't have sprained ankles, broken. It had to be something serious. You know why? Because they wanted their dreams to go to the NBA. Their dreams to be a millionaire. Their dreams to take care of their family. But once they get there, it's like, okay, now the body, you know, I'm where I need to be. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm holding this out, winning the championship, you know, as important as some of my long-term goals. And that's kind of where we at, though. But I still think a lot of people love the game, like Greek Freak.
No, I told you, this is where, like, I know he's not playing now, but I give him a pass at 41. This is where I've always tipped my cap to LeBron. Like, throughout his career, man, like, even when load management was becoming a thing, and in particular, the team that he was competing with the most, the Spurs, like, they were making it a big part of their organization. Dude showed up night after night.
So when you say the Spurs, look, first of all, yeah, LeBron has done everything most minutes. They was doing it, but did Kawhi take it and take it too far? Because they got mad at him for, like, he tried to – they had their bachelor's degree in it, but he tried to get his doctorate in it.
Yeah. Right? I mean, Duncan definitely did it a decent amount, but that was also, hey, that's an older big – and I'm sure, like, there's, to a certain degree, like, it's, I almost was starting to think about it this way, though. I wonder if this is an unintended consequence of quote-unquote ring culture. I wonder if now all these guys know that largely their entire narrative and their entire legacy, if you will, is shaped by what they do in the playoffs. Is there such an emphasis on getting to the playoffs and doing that, that that forces you to just, you know, essentially not take the regular season seriously?
I can see that. But then realistically, it's like, now your heart, everybody think they can win. But me and you know it's like 3-4 teams that can win in the West and 2 in the East. But it's some guys even on, I think, Saria teams is doing this, Jeff, if they like one of the max players.
I mean, I think it's also kind of like, you know, when you tell people – stop coming to work, you know, stay home, go to work. Guess what? It's tougher to get them back in the office when you say, all right, it's time to get back in the office.
Oh, no, that's a for sure right there. So I love the game of basketball, but we do want our stars to play. And you, like I say, some of them I will give, you know, we go see what the next group do. I know Anthony Edwards would say he always want to play. I feel like Ja always play unless he can't. Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's
well, I think he is this year, and maybe last year it was a silent protest of Jenkins. I think what we've learned is, because, like, I was kind of shocked. I don't know. I know you didn't see the play where he rolled his ankle.
I was kind of shocked that he played both Friday and Saturday, and he's obviously going to play tonight. Like, that kind of shows to me that last year he probably could have played in more games than he did. And it's clearly, he's stating it as a goal for this year, is that, like, hey, even when I'm banged up, I'm going to play through it. You know, like, if I can play, I'm going to play. That's the other thing, is the fact that somebody is stating that on the record, like, that's almost like, oh, my God. Like, you can't believe it, because nobody says that anymore.
Yeah. Like, what was going on before that? But I do think the older guys is about to leave, the LeBrons, the KDs, the Steph. They still give it they all. And then Greek right under them. Like I say, it's this young group. We want to see how they handle it. Because outside of Kawhi, the older group still, I think, go hard. You know what I mean? It's this younger group. But SGA has shown that he's going to play every game if he can, right? So hopefully it's not as many as them to keep the game moving fluid and in the right direction.
And I almost wonder, because, like, if we use Kawhi as the example, like, I almost wonder if it's because they make so much money now. Like, we think about it because it's a team sport. We watch it as a team sport. But every single one of these guys is, you know, a massive $500 million business. You know, like, I almost wonder if, like, that's part of it, because it's no longer just about, you know, what can you make playing basketball, but it's like, well, you know, now you're making more money than ever on the floor, and I presume the way that you think about it is, I'd like to make this much money for as long as I can, and then now you factor in how much money is off the court available. Like, I just wonder if, like, it's all the result of, like, I'm happy for them. I'm glad they're getting more money, but I almost wonder if, like, we end up being the victims of it all because they become such big businesses, everyone is operating at such a careful level that we as fans get to see less competitive basketball.
So let me ask you this. Once you done got your first max deal, right, and
yeah,
you're one of those guys, what can hurt by playing at that point? Because it has clearly shown a superstar or a max player that even is hurt, they're still going to give you another max. You know what I mean? Especially if you're not a big guy, they're still going to give you. Zion Williams might have played. He still got a max deal, right? So it's like, what? Although they make $3-5 million or whatever, and I get back to love of the game, what's the worst thing that can happen, especially once you've already got your first big payday? What's the worst thing can happen?
I mean, I guess the thought is, I think when they see these high-profile playoff season-ending injuries, I just think they're all scared of that. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, does this start with Clay, maybe, you know, or KD, when KD popped his Achilles and then Clay gets hurt? You know, like, it feels like it ramped up. Like, load management was around, but it feels like the last five seasons it's gone into hyperdrive. And then there's also maybe the question of, like, I don't know, maybe does it stem from the amount of condensed basketball? Like, we had the pandemic, then they go to the bubble, then they started the season relatively quick, and now, like, is it all just because, like, we played so much condensed basketball in a shorter period of time that they're all starting to worry? I don't really know what all it is, but it seems to me the number one motivating factor is all of these guys are scared of that one injury that changes their career. Even though I agree with you. How many injuries has AD had? AD just signed another max.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Max players, that's why I still think that's a little bit excuse, because you know this. Your dad do baseball. You've been around football, basketball. You can't play and think about getting hurt, though. You know, that's like you're not even driving your car to work because it had been accidents. So I get it, but I feel like if you didn't got one max thing, it still come back to you got to love the game. I'd have been around too many top athletes. Guess what? If they want to play, they play. Guess what? The top athletes do what they want. They can have a business manager, an agent, a wife. If they want to buy a certain watch, they go buy it. Whether they got to do it behind, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
You know, and I just think once you have signed at least one max, you don't really have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And if you really love the game, Jeffrey, I'm going to be real. Unless somebody have brainwashed these guys when they get in the lead, guys who love the game, it's actually hard to stop them from wanting to play.
I guess this is kind of the other thing that's surprising to me. All of these guys grew up, like if you think about, wouldn't you say it's fair to say most of this generation grew up idolizing LeBron?
Yes.
That's the age we're at. What is shocking to me, and like you said, maybe now it flips now that AD and or now that Ant and these guys, here we are, Ant's sitting out a couple of weeks. And then there's also always the question of how much of it is the player and how much of it is the organization going like, nope, you're sitting down. Like I don't know the answer to that. But I think what is striking to me is it feels like the lesson that everybody took from LeBron was be this massive brand and this business. But like no one took the like Kobe idolizing MJ and copying his game, but like nobody idolizes LeBron playing every night.
Exactly. And I'm going to be real. Kawhi Leonard is so cold that I don't think he cares about none of the stuff like extra money, this, that. It's none can motivate him. For real, you know how many opportunities and people, they let me know he's that cold. But he is one of the few, I will say this, if not the only one, that when available for the playoffs, do give his team a chance to win the championship. So I will also say that I think that's the edge to him or what teams or coaches or GMs and owners are willing to give him, continually max deals, knowing you're getting a part-time player, because when he is ready and motivated in the playoff, he's usually one of the best players in it.
No, I mean, it's kind of the weird thing about him is that when you watch him play – like, I got to imagine coming up, he was the guy that, like, you couldn't get him off the basketball floor. And now it feels like you can't get him on the basketball floor. And it's like, I don't know, does this start with when his uncle thought that San Antonio didn't handle an injury correct? And then it becomes like the we don't trust anybody but ourselves. Like, and then it just kind of becomes every man for himself, like, inside that own building. Like, I don't know, because what has always been weird to me about Kawhi is he strikes me as the guy that, like, you'd have to drag him off the floor, but it's the opposite.
Well, one thing I say, Kawhi is no nonsense, but he's a kind of, although he's a grown man, he has always, since he's been a kid and stuff happened to his father, he let his uncle kind of run a lot, and his uncle is the guy that can pretty much tell Kawhi, we're buying a Corvette today, right? If he don't listen to nobody else,
yeah.
He really loves his uncle. He listens to his uncle, right? Like how D. Rose used to do his brother. So I thought that was interesting. I'm not inside his team or health, but it's like, and teams do stuff to players, especially back then. But to say the Spurs at that point was arguably the best franchise, not just on the court.
No, like the way they handled everything. Yeah.
Yeah, like they was considered, and then you had Pop, which was considered as real as anybody, and just the whole thing. That was one of the only three people that ever challenged Pop was Kawhi. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So a lot of people was like, what's going on? Now, when he won another championship, it kind of made him look like he's still, you know, I'm Kawhi Leonard. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't want to judge a man injuries, but I don't think the Spurs, if I had to put my money on it, would be trying to mess a player up, because they were considered as one of the more fine, upstanding, you know, organizations, you know. And like I said, I give Kawhi credit, because when he stand his ground. You did it on Pop. You did it on the organization, the Spurs, that at that time was looked at as golden. Nobody had ever challenged them before.
No.
Like it's like you got six kids and your parents been putting everybody on punishment or giving everybody a spanking, but the last one, like, grab the paddle or don't go to timeout. And everybody else is like, hold on, what's going on here, right? And so, and then the double down, he's actually playing with a hard-nosed coach right now. Ty Lue is pretty challenging, you know. And so I feel like he go by his own tune. It's probably insensitive to say, because he have been on record saying, if I could play, I really want to play. So that's disappointing to me how people look at me. But he is a kind of the poster boy low management.
All right, Coach, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
That is Coach Hurd. When we come back, let's get into this comment from Nick Saban about just indeed how good the LSU job is. We'll talk about that in the coaching carousel when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Interesting story up over at On Three by Chris Lowe. So we've been having the discussion of, now that the LSU job is available, where does it rank? And this is how Chris starts his feature. My colleague at On Three, Andy Staples, ranked the open head coaching jobs in college football, and he had LSU at the top of the list. Immediately, I nodded my head in agreement and then took it a step further. Is there a claim to be made that LSU is the top job in the country, period? According to Jacob Hester, who's totally unbiased in this, it's in the top three at the very least, no matter who you ask. And if somebody says it's not, they're lying. Of course, Jacob Hester is more or less LSU royalty. So then Chris continues. So my next call was to somebody else who was once LSU royalty and is still, if anybody on the Bayou, and still is, if anybody on the Bayou is being honest. The same guy who won a national championship at LSU in 2003 and six more at Alabama before he retired following the 23 season. Nick Saban, as has always been in the case in the past two decades I've known him, was brutally honest when I asked about where LSU ranks in the pecking order of the best coaching jobs. Quote, that's changed dramatically. The whole question of what constitutes the best job. What used to make a great job was facilities, fan support, good academic support, recruiting base, and being able to create value for the players. Now that has been minimized to how much money do you have to spend on building a roster? That is by far the most important thing. According to Chris, a lot of people forget that when Saban arrived at LSU in 2000, the Tigers had suffered through losing seasons in 9 of the previous 11 years. At that point, nobody would have dare argued that the LSU job was the best in the country. According to one FBS athletic director, quote, they just hadn't figured out the institutional and political alignment at LSU until Saban got there, and he was savvy enough and strong enough to get that figured out. And once they did that, look at the results. He got the ball rolling, and his handprints have remained on that program. Then we got, let's see, from another coach, quote, it's a place you can and should be able to win at the highest level every single year. There's a reason different coaches with different styles and different approaches have won there. A handful of other schools in the same category as LSU. Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, maybe a few more. But LSU gives you the best chance of any job in America to get the quality of player it takes to win a national championship. However, this is where I think it starts to get interesting. According to Saban, jobs that weren't great jobs before are now. Lane Kiffin is the first name up for Florida and the first name up for LSU. But I think you can have a long debate on whether either one of those jobs is actually better than the other job that he has now, because he has some guys over there at Ole Miss that give him pretty much whatever he wants from a roster standpoint. He may not necessarily have the same thing at Florida or LSU. So you look at these jobs differently now. Yeah, maybe you've got facilities. Maybe you've got money. Maybe you've got alumni who are passionate about football. But are they willing to invest what you have to invest now to win? Because a lot of people don't believe in that S. So this is kind of been my whole process of trying to evaluate what is the LSU job. Because if we are just saying, number one, yeah, money matters, but you still have to have access to players, well, to me, this is a no-brainer. I've never really liked the stat that a lot of the Mississippi schools use where, like, per capita, we produce the most NFL players. And I'm just sitting there going, I was like, all right, well, there's two SEC schools in the state. The state's only got 3 million people, and everybody's fighting tooth and nail for a couple of these. And then, in my experience, the high-level Mississippi players were behind in terms of ready to play early.
Yeah.
Like, and it didn't matter if it was one state over. I always thought the Alabama kids that I covered in recruiting were always more ready to play.
They're more polished.
Correct.
You know, more ready to just hit a roster and get minutes.
Correct. And we can go over all the myriad of reasons. I'm just telling you what I observed. And I mean,
absolutely.
How many freshmen is Lane playing right now? There's one receiver, right?
One.
Is he a true freshman or redshirt?
True freshman, I'm pretty sure. Winston Watkins is who.
Yes.
Stud, by the way.
Correct.
It's awesome.
Lane said that he needs to stop talking about him because the price keeps going up.
More like quit throwing the ball then.
I mean, I will say, I do think Ole Miss's receiving courts, it's yet again, this is another damning
thing. Yeah, but guess
thing.
Where he's from.
Winston is he from Oak Grove?
No.
Where is he from?
Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know why I thought Winston was an in-state kid.
No. He's from one of these other hotbeds that we're talking about. But even to that point, the fact that Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss can go into a hotbed like that and go pluck a clearly very talented receiver is, in a way, telling.
Well, to me, this is the whole deal. It's like, what good is a recruiting base anymore?
I don't think there really is one.
Now, what you can talk me into is that while Ole Miss has gotten it together,
yeah,
that Ole Miss is bumping up against its ceiling.
I tend to agree.
Now, I think that is a fair argument to make.
Sure.
Then, if that's the argument to make, then it does become a question of quality of life. The better quality of life job would be Ole Miss, but the other two, you can talk me into, you can raise the ceiling a little bit. This, though, is still the bigger question that I have. Are we certain you can win national championships at those other two jobs in this world?
I mean, to that point, no.
Like, because we use the example, the stud defensive lineman from New Orleans. $1.2 million. LSU thinks it's good to go. They get him to reclassify. They're ready to go. USC just comes in and goes, all right, here's your 1.2. All right, here's two. Come on.
Yeah, come
Guess
on down.
Guess where he is.
He's at USC.
So this is what I think the SEC has struggled with. It's kind of like being Memphis rich
versus Rich Rich.
Yep. Yep.
And if this is truly just the era of who has the highest ceiling to spend, I do not think it's these schools. So then it becomes a question of, all right, if it's all about winning, giving yourself a chance to win a national title, well, how many jobs are there right now? I think it's clear to say the Ohio State University gives you a pretty good opportunity to win a national championship.
Seeing as they just did that.
They just did it, and they might do it again this year, and they might do it again this year without taking a loss. In an era where all we are doing is talking about the parity and the amount of additional losses you're going to take.
Right.
It's entirely possible. Not saying that put it in stone.
It's on the table.
But it is very much on the table.
More than on the table.
Very much on the table. I mean, in the end, is Brian Kelly still the LSU coach if they hold on to Bryce Underwood? I think there's a decent chance.
If we're going off of the model that we've been going off of from a couple other coaches in college football, yeah, he probably is.
And now maybe next year he's on the sweatiest of sweaty hot seats, but like...
He still is employed.
Correct.
Through this.
Napier got another year when they decided they were going to fire him, and they had the money to fire him.
Yeah, and he got another year because they said, wow, this kid's looking pretty good. Would you like to hear something that, did you see what came up on 3 about 40 minutes ago?
No, what is that?
This
that
is about
I would
LSU.
I would presume that's on the Everything app.
It is on the Everything app. New Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry says LSU AD Scott Woodward will not be hiring the Tigers' next head coach. Woodward was responsible for hiring Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M and Brian Kelly at LSU. Now, correct me if part of my reading into this is wrong. If I am a coach going into a situation like that where the state governor and the university board of directors or supervisor, whatever they call it, is making the hiring, that does not feel all that tenable.
So...
only because that's a seeming a lack of institutional control that's already in place.
There's always going to be the question of who do I work for?
Exactly.
Do I work for the governor who is in the business of getting elected? Is Scott Woodward going to be the AD in name only?
That's what it sounds like.
They're getting a new president. Now, I think that will be sorted out. I think that should happen in the next week. I mean, there's always going to be this whole element of, well, what all's going on here?
Right.
Who is in charge?
The dysfunction at the highest of high levels for an entire university, let alone for the athletic department.
I still think, like, all that's true, but I think all that's kind of always true at LSU.
Fair.
So, my bigger deal is, do I think it's probably easier to put a roster together to win 10 games at LSU? Marginally?
Sure.
But this idea that this is the same job that 5 years ago it was is just doesn't compute with me. If the standard's going to be I have to win a national championship in 4 years, based on the trajectory that I'm seeing the world going, I don't see how that's possible.
And I mean, even to that point, is that...
Do they have a billionaire that I don't know about that is all of a sudden back into football?
I have no idea. There's no telling about that. And to your point on a lot of these other schools that are going out right now and saying, hey, we have all this money. Hey, we can do this. Prove it. Haven't done it yet.
Show your work. All right, we come back. We tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, George, I'm going to have to read a snippet of this absolute. I'm hoping that we're all just getting trolled on this, but it does not seem to be a case. This lovely woman, Lauren Bollock, says that Dave Portnoy's one-bite pizza reviews are full of secret and esoteric messaging about rigged NBA games, NFL games, horse racing, and sports outcomes. Dave Portnoy likes to call pizzas floppy. Then mysteriously, there's a flop or an injury at a big game. It continues on for, I would guess, about another 1,000 words. I hope to God this is like a creative troll, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
Could it be rage bait? Absolutely. That's insane.
It's one of those ones that doesn't, like, it's so insane that, like,
I don't
this
think...
This is Charlie. This is right. Charlie with the red yeah. string and
This is so insane that, like, I don't think it's a troll because, like, usually the troll things are kind of like, all right.
On the nose.
Like,
yeah.
Like, that's kind of clever. Like, this one is just like, seek help. Want to thank Coach Herd for joining the program as well as Jason Munns. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.